When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And Mom just made up a really cool word.
Eucalyptic.
Of or pertaining to eucalyptus flavoring, smell, or sensation. Oh, that was really
chapstick.
Good. Chapstick. Yeah, yeah. I was saying that I bought some chapstick, and I put it on, and then I was trying to taste things while I was cooking them, and everything tasted sweet. And she's like, well, this tasted eucalyptic.
Anyway.
Like apocalyptic. But,
but it was eucalyptic.
I liked it. It probably is a word. Okay. Today we're going to do one of our little, I don't call these like our emotional episodes or our therapy episodes, our personal.
Right, which was inspired by a self-sewn wardrobe. Sew Porter.
Marisa recommended this topic.
Well, I think she was talking about it a little bit. I don't know. Yeah.
The reason it came up is because it was right when we announced the store. The retail location closing
the brick and mortar, right?
Because a few people were really asking for a challenge in the group. We'd done a wardrobe challenge when the group first started, and then people were asking for another challenge. And I like to be kind of open-ended with these challenges a little bit. So I called it the I've been meaning to make this challenge. So I said, you pick something you've been meaning to do, whether it's making a muslin or making the whole garment or fitting the this or I don't know. Whatever.
Doing all your alterations, catching up, or
you know,
whatever.
Some people did non-garment stuff.
Right.
And then, so then I announced we're, you know, closing the retail store. And I say, I'm not going to get my thing done.
Right.
My Kelly anorak.
Well, I didn't get my thing done either, but it was because I changed my mind and I don't really want that like it was.
Hey,
like,
no
what
judgment.
I wanted was not good.
So I said, you know, I'm not going to get my thing done. Let's continue with it. But, you know, Kelly is going in the tube of shame until we get moved back to the house.
Or until you're not pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, and then, yeah. So I just keep coming up with excuses.
Or the right season. Jacket. Or blah, 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 blah.
So Marisa said, oh, it'd be really cool to do a podcast on sewing through big life changes and stuff.
Or just life changes in general, I guess. Right.
So I think I'm just now becoming aware that life has big changes in it.
Well, you know, how old are you? You 27 still?
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so young.
You know, I'm 37 years older than Mallory. So I think I've had more changes than her.
I feel like I definitely, I don't mean to say I've got like everything figured out or anything, but certain things people would say to you as a young person that you just had no idea what they were talking about are becoming very clear to me now. Or when I was pregnant with Zelda, people be like, well, it goes by so fast. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know. Yeah. And it does. Or people saying family is so important. And when you're living in your parents' house in a supportive environment like I had, you're like, I mean, sure, family is important, but then when you got to go, like, live on your own, you're like, oh, crap, yeah, that's important, you know, you just don't realize, or I try to think other little cliches.
Okay, I'm on the other end of this.
Yeah, you done been through
all
the changes.
No, what happens to me is people tell me about their epiphanies, like, oh, guess what, now that I have a baby, this is happening, and I'm like, Yeah, well, that happened when I had babies too. Right. Or they're telling it to me like it's
never,
news.
It's never happened.
Right.
To
like
anybody.
It's news, and I'm thinking, sweetheart, I'm 40 years past there. You know, been there, done that. But I mean, I don't say. But it is funny how people will tell you things like they're the first one on earth who's ever experienced it.
You know, sometimes people, what do people say? There's something, somebody said, like, you need to get to know your baby right after I had Zelda.
Uh-huh.
Like, or this had been said to me before, or you're going to get to know your baby. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so, right? Like, you're going to be with it all the time. And, like, Lindsay was with me at the hospital at some point after Zelda was born, and Zelda was hooked up to all this stuff. You know, she was born early, and then I started to realize that I could, like, tell what was going to happen with her sometimes, and I was like, you really do get to know.
Right.
But then I felt like, who am I going to tell? Like, who's going to believe me? Who, if someone were to come ask me, like, what happens after you have a baby? And I'm like, you're just going to have
well,
to see for
it's
yourself.
A, it's also something that you do need to experience. You can't tell anybody, like, I think I said something recently to one of your friends who has a fairly new child of some sort. And I said something like, yeah, do you wonder, like, what about all that time you had before you had a kid? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
What was I doing?
What the hell was I doing?
We must have been just, like, sitting around doing nothing.
Right,
you know,
right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So there are some things in life, I guess, we'll get to sewing, that you just don't know.
Many things, you know, you can try and be empathetic, but till you've been there, you don't know what it feels like or what it's like.
Or I think that having a broader range of experiences gives you more opportunity for the empathy, because you can be like, I had no idea what this was going to be like beforehand. So what this person's talking about, I can realize that I don't really have any idea about.
Right, right.
You know,
or I've got to accept face value of what they're saying because I don't have any in-depth knowledge of this.
Right.
They're probably not fooling me. They're probably really experiencing this. It's probably real.
Yeah, so you've lived a life, Mom. Quite an interesting one.
You think so?
Yeah, oh. And so you were sewing when you were working as a nurse.
Oh, yeah.
And you worked as a real estate agent for a little bit?
I did that.
You sewed for people.
I have.
You worked at a sewing store.
Yes.
And then you owned
a fabric store.
And a fabric store.
Managed a fabric store.
And then you owned a sewing store.
Right.
And now you know.
Oh, and sewn for theater.
Costume.
It's all been in there.
Now you don't own a machine dealership anymore.
No. Nope.
Now you're a celebrity.
Oh, is that it? Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank
you. So what do you think... that there were any times, I'm just going to ask this because it kind of relates to what we were talking about with me. What was the time in your life where you sewed the least?
Whoa. maybe college, probably, except what I was doing in college was I was doing alterations. So it was like flower child time.
Uh-huh.
It was hippie time. And people were bringing me their jeans to put big go days in the sign side of them, like, you know, flower power, stuff like that. So that, you know, I was making like pizza money
to
do that. And then the other thing I made is I made these little straps that like you could Velcro around your big bell bottoms so that your bell bottoms wouldn't get caught up in your bicycle chain.
Oh, so it made them skinnier so that you
Yeah, it was just, you know, it's just a band.
You wouldn't get oil all over them or whatever.
Right. And usually what they could do is they could take that band and like Velcro it around their knee, which gave them another like, you know, design element. So they would like, there was this band of fabric and it was usually flowery or whatever. And they Velcroed that around like the top of their knee, like,
there,
okay.
Yeah.
And then when you got out of class and got on your bicycle, you went down to your bell bottom and folded it over, and so that was of my own design.
Hey.
So people saw me with that.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, where'd you get that? And I'm like, I made it. You know. So and Velcro was happily invented around that time. Okay?
That's a good tool for that kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Because you wouldn't be adjustable.
That's right. So you know, I didn't construct a lot of garments. So anybody who's studying or anything, you didn't. You know that. You were, you know, if you're in school, you're occupied so much by school. And certainly in nursing school, you don't have time to do anything.
Right, right.
You know, all you do is prepare for your next day of clinical.
Mom is educated as an RN. For those of you don't know.
You know, I would say those were the, but I still sewed. Or I was still repairing. Well, I also was certainly hemming something.
Right, for
yourself.
Because
it wouldn't fit me. But I would say that was the least. And then when we actually moved from St. Louis to Columbia, I did not have my sewing machine available to me for like 6 months. It
Ooh.
Was packed away because, you know, I packed it up when we were leaving St. Louis. And then I don't know how well you remember all this, but we came to construction. We were building this house. You do remember.
My entire life, we've been building a house.
That's right. Just keeps getting bigger. But you know, it was drywall dust. It was, you know, I mean, we all learned to walk on, you know, 16 inches on center because some places didn't have floors.
Mom, we just recorded another episode on buttonholes before this. So you probably listened to that last week, but like Mom can sew, but we can also like put up walls, drywall.
Right.
What else you do? We do some things.
There's things. There's not much that we can't figure out how to do.
How to make, you know?
Yeah. We make a lot of stuff.
I just listened to S-Town. It's a podcast.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but the guy restored clocks. I don't want to give anything away because it's like a mystery. But I'm like, oh, maybe I can get into that right now, you know?
Yeah, sure. Let's pick up some other hobby. Well, I think, you know, your sisters and you used to say between me and Jerry, my husband, your dad, that we think you can make anything. You know, we just need to bring you the idea, and between the two of you, you can figure out what to do. And it really is pretty much true.
Jerry, build the thing, you sew the cover or whatever.
Right. Or, you know, I hold this end, he saws that end or whatever. So, I don't know. You know, recently, you know, I went into the crawl space and placed a jack up under our house. Did you know that?
That's right.
Yeah.
You should have gotten paid
$10,000
I saved us
$25,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. But it was really bizarre. But anyway.
So the time you sewed the least.
Those are the two times I think I sewed the least. Most, the rest of the time I was always, it was, for me, besides being a creative outlet, I felt like it also had a calming effect on me. And it was something, especially when everybody was little and running around and you're trying to raise these children and you have no idea what they're going to grow up to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe criminals, you know? I mean, who knows? But I could sew something to fruition. I knew what it looked like and I was accomplished and I could see it. So it was a tangible thing that I did because no one was grading me or letting me know if I was like raising these children properly or feeding them correctly or any of that. You know, it's pretty much crapshoot.
I have a little bit of the feedback thing going on right now just in these few days since we've closed the store.
Yeah.
I'm like, no one sees me right now.
That's right.
You know, like I'm not in
you're not in the public every day.
I'm not
day.
In a place for public consumption.
Right.
And we have customers online. Like there are orders that I am shipping and I'm
We are doing things. I mean,
I'm posting on social
media.
You're
posting or texting things.
Oh yeah.
So you're in communication with people.
And we're very active
You're not really isolated, but you're not seen.
But I'm sort of like, okay. Well, this is a big adjustment for me because I am used to going and just being available. And, you know, people would, I almost said another word, complain about our hours sometimes.
Right.
Like us not being, and I'm like, I feel like I was just there for people all the time,
I think like anyone's work, people are like, oh, well, you know, you're not open on Monday, but they didn't know we were working on Monday.
Right. So I felt like I was available.
You feel like you were owned.
Yeah. And, you know, now I was like, oh, I'm going to, like, do my laundry and check the email at the same time.
You can multitask a little bit better.
You know, it was.
Well, you know what I noticed.
I'm, like, worried a little. I feel a little bit of anxiety.
Right.
Like,
what I noticed today was I happened to get up later than I usually do. But I didn't have to get ready.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to transport myself from one place to the other and stop and get gas. So that was kind of nice. I didn't know I would enjoy that. You know, all I did was wash my face and put on sunscreen and, you know,
well, I'm glad
come
I
to
got,
work.
Got a little bit of the, what do I want to say, the fear in me because, I mean, I want to be productive and stuff, but
I don't think production's your problem.
Yeah, I will be. I am. Okay, so
sewing through life's changes.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, you know, we have We have someone who's worked at the shop that was just recently also diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's losing her hair. And I'm thinking, oh, somebody I've got to sew a hat for.
Well, and she said, I'm going to be making headscarves.
And she'll be making them. And you know what? She will do an excellent job.
Yes, she will.
She'll do more than excellent. I know what she'll do.
She wouldn't have trusted anybody that, like, you or her to make them anyway.
Right, right. She's not going to take them for just anyone.
No. Hey, well, before we talk about sewing through more changes in life, let's go ahead and take a message break.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tea looks so good on you.
I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes... you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're
right?
The one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an easy tee, and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the easy tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sewhere.com. To purchase the class, go to sewhere.com/easytee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tea is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sewhere.com/easytee to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. So, do you want to ask me about sewing through life changes, Mom?
I guess, I was thinking about this, like, when people ask me, did I teach my children to sew or whatever? And I never did force it upon anyone or pretend that you had to do it or, you know. So, Hillary sews a little bit. Lindsay used to wind bobbins for me. She used to get a charge out of that. You were the one that took interest.
Yeah.
Like, but Hillary had her music. I mean, everybody had, like, their own thing, sort of. You were a little bit more, graphic and artistic in that way,
maybe? Yeah, I drew more. Right. Like, drawing, painting.
You did more tangible art versus,
visual art.
More visual art. Like, Hillary was very much, you know, she had her music.
I'm having a little bit of, like, vertigo right now, like, thinking about back then. I'm like, why did I want to sew? When did I want to sew? And I just did it.
Well, I think high school got you going with the costuming.
Yeah, but
because before that, though, you would come to me and say, I want this sewn.
Right, I would draw
now
you pictures.
She designed. Yeah. There were little pictures in crayon, like when she was 6 or 8, going, can we have this? Can we make this? You know, that kind of thing.
I went to a ball one time.
Yeah, you were only like 11.
Yeah, and I designed that dress.
You did.
You know, and you made it.
Yeah.
And
I think it truly was like crayon or marker or something that
you
drew it in.
I think you have it somewhere.
Oh, do I?
I thought we came across it.
That would be really cool. I think, I have the dress. I don't know if I have the drawing.
I thought you showed, maybe I'm just making that up. I don't know. But yeah, we have the dress. And it was, I was born in 1989. And so this is when I was 11 that this dress was made. And it is so, like, late 90s, early 2000s. It's a spaghetti strap top with, like, a V front. It's got beads on it. It's like...
It was purple and...
Purple and green.
Aqua. Yeah, like a teal and a purple.
So I always design stuff like that. I think...
Well, you designed every single prom dress.
Yes, yes.
And some homecoming things, I guess.
But, you know, I think a big... turning point for me, which is kind of funny because I'm not at this like very moment, I haven't sewn, I mean, at least in like 3 weeks because of moving the store.
Right.
Like, I don't think I have sewn.
I don't think I've sewn for about 10 days, maybe.
I made that skirt. Right. The last thing I made. Oh, and you know what? I screwed up the hem and I need to repair it.
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet. So I haven't sewn in a while. That's a while for me. But
I mean, the only sewing I've done is to do a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing that I did that I was like surprised at myself is I did have a little baby and I got so upset, like, or frustrated with my pants situation.
Right.
That I made those pants and I was like, you know, I made time for it. After I had that baby,
right,
you know, and I'm like, I can make time for it again. And I think right now, I mean, everybody might be tired.
Well, first
of
all, I think we have to clear that workroom
table. Right, right. We got like the two computers off the cutting table.
Right.
But I think right now I'm really tired. It's not so much about the time,
right.
And I think I'm tired due to like the pregnancy the move.
When
you know,
Marisa says, you know, sewing through life's changes, I think there's inspiration in situations, too.
Right.
Or, you know, I had that surgery on my leg.
Uh-huh.
Took like a veal cutlet out of my leg.
Right.
This big chunk out of my leg. And I had this, I dealt with that dressing for like 3 months. So I needed pants.
Right.
Like, now, somebody else would have had to, like, figure out how to go buy these pants that
mm-hmm.
worked correctly.
Right.
And I knew what kind of fabric I wanted. I knew how I wanted it to fit. You know, so I just made them up in my head and then I went and made them.
Right, right.
You know, actually, I'm still wearing them even though I'm not wearing a dress. I mean, they're like my favorite pants.
No, so I sometimes think that like a big life change can mean you don't sew for a while or it can mean you're inspired
mm-hmm.
to sew something.
Or it means like someone's getting married and you're making every
a
garment
bunch of wedding
for
dresses.
The entire
absolutely.
Everyone,
or a bunch of costumes,
or there's a need. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I did a lot of costuming. See, when you guys were in school, because that's what you were doing.
Right.
You were performing.
Oh yeah,
but you know, I'm getting ready to make Elliot's dance costume, which I wind up doing every year.
Last time I sewed was fixing Derek's pants. I think the thread is still on the machine.
Yeah,
right now.
That's how. Sometimes that's how you can tell. You can go
yep.
look.
Oh, okay.
I mean, actually,
that was enjoyable.
I was making mm-hmm. the picnic table seat covers. You know. For myself and for some friends, so when we go camping, we have cushions on our picnic tables, benches. But people. I remember people at the shop saying, "We haven't seen so and so for a long time," and I would say, "Well, all of her kids are in all of these activities, and they're like 9, 11, and 14, so
right.
she's driving everyone everywhere."
Well,
no, she's not coming to the shop.
And sometimes we'd get this feedback even from like employees. A lot of our employees were kind of like dedicated hobbyists,
right?
You know, say, "Hey, we need to teach this class again," you know, and they're like, "Well, don't they all know how to do that?"
Well,
you know,
no.
Say,
it's not the same people, right?
Well, or it would be, or they'd say,
right.
"You know, that lady came again." I said, "Not everyone sews every day.
Or everything.
Yes. Or right. But, like, you know, they may have taken the class a while ago right. and then had those, you know, kids and all those activities and stuff. And they... We do get to sew every day,
right.
you know, and these people who I'm talking about, you know, teaching the classes and stuff, right. you know, they would sew every day. The knowledge never, like, left them, you know. Right. And I think about, like, I haven't done ballroom dancing in a while.
We did some of those costumes.
So if somebody said, hey, you know, go do the Viennese waltz with all these moves right now, I'd have to be like, you know what? Maybe I need a refresher, you know?
Right.
So I try to think of it like that. And I think
that... It'll come back to you.
That's right.
But you need somebody to... So
not everybody gets the consistent access to, like, the space and the sewing machine and everything like that all
right,
the time.
Right.
You know,
like, well, and again, through life's changes. So a lot of people get the urge to sew when they have a baby.
Right.
Or they get the urge to start sewing when they're in high school because they want to make their prom dress. And then maybe someone's making a wedding dress. And so it goes with your life. And then, you know... Now you're sewing for babies. Then you're sewing for, all of a sudden, you're doing something for a ball team.
Yeah.
Because your kid's on the ball team. And then you're sewing for theater because your kid decided, you know, they're going to do that.
Well, and I think we all have different views of that because I remember being like, oh, I'm going to get, like, less done now that I have a baby, like, less sewing. And it's like, well, when sewing's your job, maybe you'll get less sewing done
right.
with a baby. But, like, if sewing's not your job and you're sort of like, looking for a new hobby.
Right.
And you're sewing more than you did before because you never sewed before. You
there
know?
Was something about having children that I almost started sewing more again. I think it was sort of a nesting thing. And I was home, and when you were down for a nap,
yeah,
I took the opportunity to sew. And I always had a place where I set up my sewing and it stayed up. It wasn't up and down. It was significant enough to me that I needed a space where my sewing machine was
and
readily available.
That's ZD's biggest tip. When people talk about how do I get more sewing done, and I know it's not possible for everyone
right.
at every stage of life
right.
what we're talking about, but the biggest thing that you could do for being able to sew more often is have a place where you can have, like, your machine
right
your
it's
stuff
there it's ready
set up.
Right,
you know,
you don't have to totally clean up maybe every time you stop, or, you know, there's
or,
a door
you
can shut.
Yeah, there's a door you can shut. You don't have to, like, put the machine completely away.
Right.
You know, there are some really cool cabinets out there where you can sort of, like,
absolutely.
Shut the door on
now
them,
they're like Murphy
know?
Cabinets, you know, you
yeah.
put them down and there's a table for your sewing machine.
So
and
I that you know, I understand that everybody has, like, a big studio space or something.
Right. Well, and a lot of people, how often have we heard lately, especially with the baby boomers retiring, oh, now I'm going to retire and I can sew again.
Yeah.
They're not going to work every day. They're not tired and fatigued from going to this job every day. And they're so happy to get to sew and create and think, you know, about something other than, you know, what that job was.
Well, and now, okay, so this is, like, going to be very new to me. Like, the situation we're in now. So I went...
What do you mean? It's new to me, too.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's like,
no,
yeah,
I know.
Who's ever stayed home, right?
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
Who's ever got to, like, stay home,
so you
right.
bought the shop when I was, like, 16 or 15.
I think you were 15, yeah.
15, yeah, something like that. And, like, I worked there in high school.
Right.
And Mom, like, gave me commission when I sold sewing machines because she's so nice. And then...
Well, that was a mistake.
You know, and before that, before you owned the shop, we worked at David's Bridal together for a minute.
Right.
Right?
I opened and ran the
alterations
department.
I sound like such a loser, okay?
You had one little job.
Here we go. I'll talk about what a loser I am. So I go to... I work at the shop, you know, like, through high school and college. And, like, my college... I'm really impressed with people who, like, do work through college. I was in kind of a unique college situation. I was in a 3-year program where you're supposed to get all this done in 3 years. And I was in a dance program, so we had, like, rehearsal every night. And, you know, I was lucky to get to work with you
right.
and have such flexible hours, you
right.
know, because sometimes we'd have rehearsal on the weekends. Sometimes
right.
we'd have rehearsal. I'd be in school from, like, 8 to
right.
10, you know. So I got to work there. And then I graduate from college, and I'm sort of trying to, like, figure out what I want to do. And then you get sick.
Right. I literally went to the hospital one day while Mallory was
at the store. Yeah,
it was a Saturday, and Mallory and I were going to both be working, and instead I went to the hospital that day.
Yeah, I graduated in May, and you had to go to the hospital in December of 2010, and then I was running the store.
Right.
So I've always
we had a lease coming up at that time, the end of the lease, and it was like, okay, what do we do? And we had no idea, you know, where I was going to be physically. And we said to you, what do you want? And you said you thought you wanted to do this.
So I've run the store sort of like, I called myself the manager. You know, I kind of like ran.
The manager is the person that gets to run the store and doesn't have to invest their own money.
That's right. So
they get to do whatever they want, but somebody else pays for it.
So
that's it.
Running the store, you know, opening the door.
Hiring, firing, purchasing.
Yeah, like trying to do everything right, you know, and selling the machines and everything, trying to do my best. So that's what I've been doing for the past, like, 6 years.
Right.
And that brings us to right now.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like I have a much bigger, a much better focus now on, in terms of sewing. Like, when we were running the store, I felt like we had to try and be, like, all things to all stitchers. You know, when you're running a sewing store and someone comes in and buys a machine from you and they're like, I need to know how to make this do such and such.
Right.
I need to know how to make this do this and this. And it would be quilting and it would be home deck and it would be free motion quilting and it would be garment sewing. And then we fought to kind of get the garment sewing back. And now where we are is we've built this community and we have this audience who just like they found us because of
what we do.
Because of what we do.
Right.
You know, and
it was like we had a certain polarization that worked.
Yeah. So we say, hey, this is what we're doing. And then people come to us and say, great, I want to learn more about that.
Right.
Not.
Which you can if your audience is the globe.
Right.
Right.
You know, in our town, the garment sewing population was not like as large as what we reach.
Not very big at all.
And so now I feel like I'm really able to focus because, you know, I could show someone how to get a scant quarter inch seam. I could show someone how to do like fake trapunto.
Right.
I could show someone how to do this and that and the other thing because I think we're good at
how to miter a corner, how to bind a quilt, whatever.
How to do this. You know, I could. And now I'm like, okay, we get to focus.
We can choose our focus.
That's
absolutely
right. And this is something that I find to actually be like a big luxury right now.
Okay.
I'm sort of a part of all these groups of like bloggers and stuff. Now, they're not all sewing bloggers.
Right.
But everyone talks about sort of like niching down.
Right.
You know?
And this is our niche.
And now we get to, and I'm really excited to talk. Now, garment sewing is a huge niche, you know, from our point of view. You know, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to produce, a lot of media to create. But I'm excited to be able to focus on that and not have to run some things that weren't necessarily right where my heart was.
Right.
You know?
Well, no, I think this is our passion, both of us. I think we're good at the podcasting. You're good at the live broadcasting. So those things and that combination are working well for us.
I mean, being a shop owner carries these responsibilities, you know, of
the shop
of helping your customers.
Owning the shop, having the shop as part of your experience is absolutely invaluable.
I'm grateful for it.
In fact, I think about some of those bloggers and opinions I hear about people who own shops or where they went to, and I'm like, you have no idea where you're coming from when you criticize these people, or you have no idea how difficult this is.
It's
and
hard.
How it, you know, it's not a big money maker, everybody. Nobody gets rich, believe me, without working their butt off.
Yeah, no one's making the millions.
No. In fact, most of them probably have their homes like financed, you know.
It's a labor
over their head. Yeah, no,
it's a labor of love.
It is. So I think that experience just has because I've thought about it. Like, maybe, should I have ever done that? Maybe we did it too long or, and no, I think the, you know, we took the right path and we're making the right life change.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited though. I think I'm going to be able to do a lot. I feel pretty right. like unlimited
so
right
I
now.
So I think that everybody should tell us like what phases they've gone yeah, through with
absolutely.
Sewing.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear about
I
it.
I mean, is there one we haven't mentioned? I'm sure there is. There has to be. You know, or why you sew? Like, did you not sew out of purpose? Did you sew out of choice? Did you sew out of a fluke? Did someone inspire you? What
and
made you do it?
You mentioned sewing as a calming thing.
Yeah.
And I have seen so many people comment, and I can't speak about this at all. I've seen a lot of people comment in various places on the internet that sewing helped them get through
yes.
the death of a child.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right, absolutely. A lot of the death of a parent, too. We've seen that a lot.
A lot of death, right. You know, and I'm lucky I haven't had to, like, cope with a lot of that, you know,
right.
in my lifetime. But I, you know, I'd love to hear about your experiences, and you can comment on this episode. You can go to sewhere.com or sewingoutloud.com, and you'll find this episode. You can comment on it. Let us know. You can email me, Mallory@sewhere.com, or get a hold of us on Instagram, ZD Sewing Studio. And thank you all for listening to our little, you know, our one of our emotional episodes.
There you go. So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.